The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Yawning this morning, and welcome back to 96.9 FM Guardian Radio, your place for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 23rd of June, 1, and you are on the clock with Aaron Green and my guest co-host, Mr. Darwin Thompson.
Good morning.
On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. Now let's get right to it. I got a little bit of housekeeping. Did you know the 2021 Statistics Act makes provision for the establishment of the National Statistical Institute that will operate as an autonomous corporate body to replace the existing Department of Statistics? The Institute would implement world-class standards for collecting, compiling, analyzing, and publishing official statistics. This message is brought to you by the Ministry of Finance. Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Thompson. How are you doing?
You?
I'm good, thank you. How was your Father's Day? I did miss you yesterday.
Yeah.
I did miss you the day before. How was your Father's Day?
Well, man, I was here the day before, but Father's Day was amazing. It's by my two lovely ladies.
Now, did you really let them take care of you? Or did you say, look here, ladies, there's still some things I'm not going to let the women them do on Father's Day?
Well, that's a given, right? There's certain things that she wouldn't do. I posted a status that was pretty funny saying that all the women need to cut the yard, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, but she wasn't cutting the yard this week. Maybe next time.
Yeah. Do you feel like men, that makes them feel good, mm-hmm, that there are things that are in their domain and that,
right,
they are responsible for?
I think so. I also think that I just don't like the women in my life having to lift their hands to do all that heavy work. Not that it's bad or negative, but just said, let me do it.
If they don't have to.
Yeah, yeah. You take your time, relax. You got a baby to deal with basically half the time that I'm not here, so let me deal with the rest.
Right. Do you think most women see that in the spirit that it's offered, mm-hmm, as I feel like I have a role, mm-hmm, and it is harder than the other things, and I will gladly take on things.
Right.
You think women see that in the spirit that it's offered, or do they see it as controlling, mm, and an attempt to control a woman in the situation?
Well, it depends on the relationship, really. For me, in my relationship, my wife knows that, hey, you know, at the end of the day, if you want to cut the grass, you can cut the grass. I just wouldn't prefer to allow you or let you do that.
Right. Or presume that that's what you're
going to do.
Or enjoy doing.
Exactly. No, definitely not, right?
Do you enjoy doing things like that? Or is it just something you do because you was man and that's how you were raised and men do these things?
I enjoy doing it. Personally, I enjoy taking care of my own stuff. Even if my wife tries to help me to clean the car, I'm like, no, just leave it alone. I got it, you know.
Yeah.
And I also think that there's a certain level of experience that comes with that. So I know that I've always dealt with certain things, and my experience in that gives me the ability to do it within 15 minutes as opposed to someone that comes and does it in 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do men make fun of other men whose demeanor in a relationship appears to be more submissive. Like, for instance, I was in a snack place with my partner. I know we're both women, so this is not an attempt to paint a normative heterosexual relationship, right? It's just looking at life.
Yes.
And they have a special. And I was getting two bag a chip on special, right?
Right.
And they're not necessarily the healthiest chips.
Chips,
That's an oxymoron in and of itself, right?
Right.
And she looked at me and she said, two bag? And I look at her, right? And I look at the cashier. And the cashier was shocked.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure the cashier is sort of like, first of all, when people, but here I am, this big figure on the radio, and they want to know what I can do. So I look at her and I say, you sure I can't have two bags? And she say, no, right? And I burst out laughing. And the cashier wasn't sure what was going to happen next, if we was going to row.
Yeah, yeah.
And I look at the cashier and I tell the cashier, boy, isn't it nice to have somebody to fuss you? Like,
exactly,
and somebody to control you in that way?
Yeah.
Like, and so I didn't see it as.
Right. No, I think especially for myself, I don't look at it as a negative thing. My wife definitely has a certain amount of control over my decisions, my actions, and the things that I do. So much so that she only has to give me a look. She doesn't even have to get to the point where the bag or anything. She just has to say, and that's it. Just that look. So, you know, within my own perception, I think that the intricacies of relationships are very between each different relationship.
Yeah.
So I think it's important that you find that balance for yourself, you know, and I think that any guy that's submissive to his wife as well is an awesome husband too.
Now look here, I done called plenty relationship coach to come on the show for Men's Health Month, right?
Yes, yes.
To talk about relationships. But I think they think I up to something sneaky, right? And they answer me positively. Yeah, I just want you all to know I'm not trying to create a relationship with you.
Right.
I'm very interested in how men feel, though, right? And how they located in this place. And do they agree with the things that are said about them?
Mm.
Right?
I like that perspective.
Or, you know, is it a cultural trait that Bahamian men have, which is, y'all talk. I don't care. Right? Like, we here would be busy about doing what we're doing.
Right. Right.
You know, and maybe that's the focus. But I think for the social scientists and the social analysts, right, and the people that are really, really concerned about where we are, how we got there, and what we're going to do next, right, and concerned about dynamics for young people in particular,
right.
I think that we do need a focus on men. You know, whether you come from a what you'd call an extremist or hyper-feminist perspective that men are the source of all the problems women experience, so we need to fix men. Before you could fix men, you need to practice empathy and understand truly what the problem is, right? If you take it from that perspective.
Yes.
But from the other perspective, which is, look here, men are a part of this system.
Mm-hmm.
We need to understand them. More importantly, we need to create an environment where men can understand themselves and make healthier and more informed decisions for themselves, about themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very important. I think when we look at the state of politics in this town and we ask ourselves, how is the political culture devolved to this place where it is chaotic, it is hypocritical, right? It is antithetical.
Mm-hmm.
We also have to acknowledge that those people are us. They come from society generally.
Mm-hmm.
And if we are going to continue on with this perspective that men are going to lead the nation, then we need to figure out what is going on with men.
Right.
Because men could, I mean, and at this point, men could say what they want. Mm-hmm. There's things going on.
Of course, definitely. Even if you just take a look at the paper every now and then, you see the next 18-year-old taken to court for another murder, right?
Yeah.
So what's going on? There's a trend. We just had 4 or 5 different young men under the age of 25, under my age, being taken before the courts.
Yeah, the six men on these a particular charges.
Exactly. So clearly there's a societal issue going on here. Often when I go out, I'm not afraid or I don't get the anxiety that I would get around older men or, or middle-aged men that I would around younger men. Mm-hmm. And that's because of the mentality. I know that there's a certain mentality within groups of young men, this invincibility that we feel that we can do whatever we want, however we want. And so the behaviors are different.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see that the more mature men are reserved, and even some of them a little bit crazy at times, right? Mm-hmm. But you'll find that the young men are desperately in need of guidance.
Yeah.
Desperately.
Absolutely. And for a lot of those older men that have sort of hit maturity and they cruising now, right?
Right, right.
Like, I think it's important for them to acknowledge, if this is the case, that it wasn't always this way, right?
Exactly.
Like, younger men need to see in older, mature men this possibility, right? That even though I'm in this chaos or I feel chaotic right now,
right,
there is a possibility in the future that things will smooth out.
Exactly, exactly.
And most of the men I know who are mature, right?
Right, right.
They was, you know, maybe a little roughish or a little baddish, a little bad boyish.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
plenty of us. And I say, even I didn't have any sense when I was growing up.
same, right?
Right, and yeah. a part of what saved us, my generation, is the lack of technology.
Right.
And that is all, right?
Mm, so you weren't recorded or...
Right. Mm. And I need...
Yeah.
I need plenty of my peers to understand that, right? Is that when you're trying to make assessments or judgments between the generations and you're about to make a moral judgment, right?
Right, right.
Remember that the difference between us and them is the cameras wasn't there.
Because the stories are definitely there.
Right.
You hear the stories all the time.
And even
right?
when we get as deep as something like the pregnancies, right?
Yeah.
No, the cameras weren't there to document the bellies, right? Mm-hmm. Like and so we create this sort of environment where young people feel like they are the first and only ones to have sinned.
Right.
Right? They are the first to have fallen in the eyes of God, and it's such a horrible thing without us acknowledging that we used to do the most foolishness, right?
Right.
And
I mean,
you could imagine the young people, if you're all hearing the stories of the foolishness we used to do. Now, not me, because my Grammy wouldn't let me off the side porch on East Street, right? But people used to get in planes and fly to Miami for breakfast, not to go shopping. And then we get there early, so we have breakfast before we go shopping for school supplies and food for the house and things. No. They used to get in their car and go zoom down to the airport and fly to Miami for breakfast. Like that is the input. That's the main part of the trip. And then maybe we go do some shopping.
Mm-hmm.
But we can bring back some things, some fancy corporate. I don't want to even call the people them name. Fancy breakfast and thing back to Nassau for the people. Like, let's not act like we are the, what they call it. Anyway, it's a fancy word that British people use. Like, we are the bastion, we are the standard of common sense and morality and ethics.
Right, right.
Right?
And it's that connection to the truth that also allows the younger generation to look at persons within those age groups and say, wow, okay, you're genuine. So
yeah.
I could look at Aaron and I'd say, you're genuine about what you're doing, right? But then I look at someone else that's not as perfect, but acting 10 times as perfect.
Yeah.
Right? So that's that kind of not connecting with the truth and the reality of your situation puts us off.
Yeah. Let me, Kermit, let's get to this caller. Let's see if the line is working.
Hello.
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, morning, Aaron. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
And how's the Chick Chinese?
Look here, the Chick Chinese are good. They didn't... Anyway, that rain was good this morning,
yes.
Eh?
And good morning to the young gentleman, and I encourage you to keep focused, bro. Ms. Green, is this an open show today, ma'am?
It's kind of, it was about to be an open show because my farmer friend was late, but he just show up. So
can I give you a few minutes,
yeah.
Can you just engage me for a minute?
Yeah.
Ms. Green, okay, I need you to help me and maybe the young man who seems to have knowledge about life itself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this emergency order is up in August, right?
Yeah.
but the House is suspended until September. But, Ms. Green, let me ask you a question before you even answer that question. If we're in an emergency, why is it that the House has to be suspended till September? Why is it that this government decides to go on a vacation? Again, remember now, Ms. Green, let me take you back down the memory lane.
Hold on, wait. You ain't serious. The House is suspended until September?
September.
Hold on, that already happened?
Yes, ma'am.
No,
yes,
man, ma'am. That's a joke. That ain't serious.
Okay, if in your car for a whole 2 months.
No, no, I believe you.
Free.
No,
free.
I'm not saying no. I can't.
Ms. Green, one thing you can say with myself.
No. I do call a talk show.
I know you're not knocking what I'm saying. Yeah. I don't call a talk show to open my mouth up unless I have my facts. That's
yes,
why
sir.
When I hear one or two persons texting back, I say, man, I went with them 25-cent people because they ain't got no voice. But what I'm saying to you is that if the country is in a state of emergency, Ms. Green, and the young gentleman inside there, why are you going on a vacation?
Yeah.
Huh? So why is this? And back to the same thing again. Why is this emergency order still in effect then?
Yeah.
Okay? And Bahamian people who can hear me this morning, y'all need to stand up, you know. And I'm not talking about stand up violently. Anyone who knows me, I'm not into that. I'm speak, call these talk shows, send things, you know, with making sense to your MP. Explain to them, if you could go on a 3 month vacation and this emergency order is up in August, what? And then Mr. Carbell said, if the GG sees that it's sufficient, that the numbers go up. I mean, Ms. Green, two things I already tell you to document. This is the second thing I want you to document for me, please, as I hang up. Today, I want you to watch the numbers is now. And Ms. Green, you could tell your sweet Jesus, when you see August come around August, then the numbers going up. Then they can talk about, we have to give you another 3 to 6 months. Like, you're playing a mind game, but like I say this to those powers that be. You got some sensible thinking behemoths out here. In other words, you are behemoths out here, but this thing called mother's wit. And for those who don't know what the mother's wit is, I think you should need to ask the older people. Have a good day, Ms. Green.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, DeWitt. And like, let's start at the top. Thank you for encouraging behemoths to engage. Because here's how it works. If you don't make your voice heard,
right,
the politicians will continue to say you didn't care enough to speak up, so I had to make a decision on your behalf. Mm-hmm. If you become disenfranchised and you don't vote, the politicians will quote the low voter turnout and say, it's not us, it's the apathetic Bahamian public that does not care about governance, and so we make the decisions on their behalf. It's not just like that I'm encouraging you to engage. It's that you have a constitutional obligation as a citizen,
right,
to engage the process of governance. In fact, those politicians can't do their job properly without your voice. Right? Refuses to create a mechanism to capture your voice, to collate it, right? To document it. Then it is upon us to create these mechanisms. And I could be honest with y'all, we have too many bars in this country. We have too many restaurants in this country. We have too many high-end establishments that the average Bahamian cannot participate in or support. In fact, we are creating a country for other people. I am glad that my guest was late and that gave me a time to sit calmly with my guest co-host so I could think about other things this morning instead of the things I wanted to rant about, right? But we're going to think about this. Why in a town where an abnormally large number of people are not connected to the power grid, are we making, 90% of us, 95% of us making candles for tourists? We have been in an energy crisis for 30 plus years, and we do not have a local candle industry to serve local people who cannot afford electricity. Ain't nobody importing safe lamps. Ain't nobody making fire retardant candle holders. It's almost as if we don't care about the people that live here. Mm-hmm. We only care about our opportunity to make money while we're here. And on that note, I'm going to blame the Ministry of Tourism, and I'm going to blame the Ministry of Finance and the government, because y'all's slogans are so good that Bahamians have bought into them and forgot the message ain't for them. Right? They repeat the slogans because it's like, oh, bear. They like magic and it have us confused. We putting on a play. They're Bahamas. They're Bahamians. We putting on a play, right? And it's like we at that place on Mackey Street who changed their name and ain't nobody know the new name, right? Just like that. We putting on a play and all of us sitting in the audience waiting for the play to start. Mm-hmm. And we forget that we are the cast, we are the set design, we are the set staff, we are the director, the lighting and the sound, we are the people who collect the tickets, we are the people who manage concessions, some of us in the parking lot trying to sell snacks, bootleg, even though we running the concession stand in the theater, right? And all of that is because the Ministry of Tourism did such a good job with their slogan, and the Ministry of Education did such a poor job in not telling us the slogan is not for us. Right? It is a plantation model. It is not for us. Let me show you something. How could? And I see, I was supposed to say this yesterday, but I didn't really get to it because the truth is I don't have any money to get sued and I'm not quite sure how to say it properly, right? But last week when I had that gentleman, Mr. Toby Smith, on my show, another gentleman called and I had to remind that gentleman again that I ain't got no money so I don't get sued. So stop calling company names and talking about who paying who and doing what. Well, it turns out I owe that man an apology. Not the kind of apology that can get us both sued, because that obviously is not what you want.
Right.
But I need to say to you, thank you, because I didn't see it, but now I see what you were saying, and I hope other people see it, except for the people who like to sue. Y'all didn't see nothing. Mm-hmm. Carnival Cruise Line and Royal Caribbean Cruise Line have a Grand Bahama partnership in the Freeport Harbor. And all I want to know is who owns the harbor. These guys went as far as saying in a press statement, and just give me a moment so I could pull it. You got to read these things carefully so you don't get sued, right? But again, this is from the October 27, 2020 Tribune Business section in an article written by Neil Hartnell, right? And you need the whole paragraph for the context. The Grand Lucayan sale will not close until Royal Caribbean and its joint venture partner have sealed the deal for Freeport Harbor. A cabinet minister disclosed to Tribune Business. Dionisio de Aguila, Minister of Tourism and Aviation, confirmed that ITM Group and the cruise line want to seal the entire transaction at once to protect their commercial interests and not hand an advantage to either Freeport Harbor government. Their consortium, or whoever you are, possibly if I don't call your name, it's less likely I can get sued. But let's talk about it. How could you hand an advantage to the government of the Bahamas, in the Bahamas, in a deal about Bahamian assets? What you gonna do? You gonna take the harbor with you when you leave? Is that the exit strategy? Is that the backup plan? What in this plantation tourism model system inspired you to say out loud that you need to make sure that the Bahamian government doesn't have an advantage in this negotiation? Well, this is a problem. First of all, the Bahamian government represents the Bahamian people, and you don't want to pick a fight with us because we don't just fly here, we live here. Right? Second of all, don't mind that the majority of us can't swim, you know. We could bubble. We could bubble long enough
bubble and float
to maintain our presence in the harbor. But that was just a joke. I had a far more serious response.
Yeah.
I just think it's important for you all to understand, because you're not the only consortium of companies. I want to say to the former BTPC, now Challenger Energy, whatever you change your name to, I know you are here in the business section because there's a beautiful story about you too. You are not negotiating with the Bahamian government. You are negotiating with the Bahamian people via the government. Given the current and existing political backdrop upon which these negotiations take place, you should understand that the government ain't in good standing with the people at Wake Forest either. And not just the FNM, successive governments. Don't mind, I don't tell you who my guest is in the studio today, because the political culture ain't what y'all think it is. Foreign companies should not come in to our country and speak about national issues, because as much as you want to say that this is just a private business issue that ordinary people should stay out of, how could the sale or management or question mark of a harbor, let alone a Freeport harbor, not be a matter of national concern? Right, that's like telling me, oh, I'm going to drop a hole in the ground for oil, but that ain't really your business. I'm talking to the government.
Right.
The same ocean that I swim in, the same ocean that the purest sea moss is harvested from, while you're all around here buying and importing foreign sea moss. Now, I'm not dissing the people who import it, because you bring in a good product. Mm-hmm. But it ain't as good as the locally harvested sea moss that we will not see for maybe 100 years if we have an oil spill. You ain't ask none of us. And so when we get to this story in the National Review on the bottom of the fold, eyeing a transformation of heritage sites, private management of deteriorated national treasures requires full transparency. Dear government, don't tell me you have to create an agreement with the private people because it run down. You let it run down instead of having judicial meetings where you serve the people 10 meats. Don't think we don't remember that just because we weren't invited. You had two of them. Mm-hmm. The money should be going first to take care of the children that don't have nobody to take care of them, and the older people that don't have nobody to take care of them, and the disabled people. And then to the historic monuments, the history of this place. 2 weeks ago, people are telling us about the tunnels that run under the Ford system. Mm-hmm. And now today, you telling me you entering a private-public partnership? Am I going to have to pay people money to go see my Ford the same way I got to go pay people money to go see records that are already public record and I should already have free access to? Is this what's going to happen? And if it's a public-private partnership, how come the public don't know nothing about it? Why does it seem to be a private-private partnership? And how come the Ford, how come the money? Listen, I don't have any children, so I have not had the experience of children running tape across my head. I can be honest with you, I've encountered some substance abusers that have run the most beautiful proposals across my desk. But how they coming right back with the $20 and a case of mangoes. Right? But this is not it. Where can we find the documentation of the management of these sites over the last 20 years? How could I find out why the Ford owe the cruise line money? What could they owe the cruise line money for?
How does that even exist? What?
Surely they're supposed to be paying you to bring their people there. So certainly we are not paying them to bring their people to the fort. Is that what we're doing? Because we're not going to make fun of people. I'm not going to use that word. But if this is how y'all kicking it, I have a bridge to common sense I want to sell you. It leads straight from the cabinet building to common sense, and it is easily installed. Just as we go to the break, I want to share something with y'all. Let me go on the top of that fold. So I'm reading the story, jury is still out. And it's an analysis of the recent Court of Appeal decision to uphold a landmark 2020 Supreme Court ruling. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, I got my back up when I saw Loftus Roca on the page, because I was expecting some Operation National Rescue foolishness, where they actually chased Bahamians out of a town hall meeting because they insisted on presenting a position, a particular position. Mm-hmm. Quite gladdened by what I heard, former leader of the country, not like leader PM, but leader like I stand with these brethren. Right. See, because this was from a time when the PM knew that he was equal among equals. Mm-hmm. When he knew that these boy them will call him dead quick and ask him if something wrong. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Roca says, it says, but former Minister of Immigration, A. Loftus Roca, one of only six serving signatories of our Constitution, said yesterday it was never the intent of the framers for children born in the Bahamas to unmarried foreign women to have automatic Bahamian citizenship. Roca, now 85, said when citizenship issues were being discussed ahead of the 1973 Constitution, one concern was at that time it was not easy to prove paternity. He goes on to say, unlike today, when DNA testing is common, as such, he said, the framers wanted to safeguard Bahamian citizenship. That was the most difficult part of it. We know who the mother was. He goes on to say, acknowledging that much has changed since 73, Roca said, if you can prove it by DNA, then fine. I have no problem with that. I need you all to hear that Roca changed, and I'm okay with it because we have the technology that helps us maintain the original intent. And I said that to say this. I want to send a shout out to Perry Christie, because from here on in, I must see have to beat up on the PLP like they deserve it. Mm-hmm. But I want to send a shout out to Perry Christie because he said something phenomenal, which should be the new hallmark of the PLP party. Not like these people who think they're going to diss up and insult, and I mean slander and slur, you know, Glennis Hannah Martin on the convention floor, or other women who can get up and use the nefarious N-word on the PLP convention floor. See, y'all need a rebranding, and I don't think y'all understand what this rebranding requires. But in 2014, Prime Minister Perry Christie, when asked if the government is considering entrenching a same-sex marriage ban in the Constitution, Perry Gladstone Christie said, I do not think this is a decision that we should make for future Bahamians. I do not think this is a decision for future Bahamians. That is the beginning of the reclaiming of the PLP, right? Now, y'all don't mind that it was same-sex marriage. The Constitution has a provision that protects the temporary ban on same-sex marriage, even though it is discriminatory, right? So y'all safe. Don't watch nothing. The point is, he understood that there are some things that cannot be decided for other people and other generations of people. That's why I make that point. That is the type of leadership that we need in this country. And that is the type of leadership young people need. And they need to hear that. They need to hear a prime minister telling them, I am entrusting you to carry your people through this process in the future. And let them understand that while there are decisions you have to make, there are decisions that you cannot make for other people. Therefore, score and 10, gang. I need you all to remember that too. You trust us that we're going to take care of you. And we will trust you that you're not going to cling tooth and nail, fighting us instead of fighting death. And thanks for showing me this notice. There is a notice with an AMMC insignia on it that says, notice, no professional photography and or videography are permitted without authorization from the site supervisor. Please check with the office.
So that happened about a month ago. We were trying to walk around the fort, and we were intercepted.
All right, and you were told that you couldn't come in.
We couldn't even walk around.
See, okay, these are things that require public discourse before decisions are made. And maybe it's a cabinet problem. Right. Maybe it's a ministry problem. Maybe it's an MP and constituency problem. But guess what? It's a problem, and it's not our problem. Mm-hmm. It's your problem. Anyway, I got a caller on the line. Caller, you are on the clock.
A godly day.
Good morning.
Doctor, I'm going to waste along with you and your guests here.
Now, look here, Brayman, you always confuse people when you say this dark universe, because sometimes you sound so glum. But when you say dark universe, I think of all the things unseen, which is the majority of the world around us. And as soon as I put my eyes on it, it light right up.
Yeah, but the thing is, what you got to do is, or what you should do is think about the people with the evil heart. That's what makes the world dark.
Oh, that's what you mean by dark. Listen, right. I don't think, Brayman, I don't think about them, and you don't think about them either.
Well,
I have a whole team of Chikchanis on them.
Well, the thing is, okay, but the thing is, if they would clean up their heart, we wouldn't be going through the bunch of immaturities in which we are going through as a people.
True.
But what I want to say, right,
mm-hmm.
this situation in which these those governments be dealing with those heads of a group. They're giving the people the prerogative to say the things and herald to say the things and do the things in which we disapprove of. They're going back to 1619. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When slavery started in the United States. And then they have that same concept that they could just put it on people today, especially the Bahamian people. And our people would go in the House of Assembly to do business for us. They got to do better than what they are doing, because this country does not only belong to only them, it belongs to us, which is the majority of people.
Yeah.
And people, all of them need to understand that. It's just nastiness and greed. Dirtiness, you see?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all about. And our Bahamian people got to wake up and stand up, because this is our country.
Yeah.
And we got to make them to know this, to know it. This is not 1619 when slavery, you know, was rampant in those parts. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, Brayman. Thank you. I think you wait till you hang up there. Voice a major concern. Bahamians feel like they have been left out of the system. Bahamians feel, and I could be honest with you, I feel like it all the time. I feel like we have not stopped wrecking. In the absence of other ships to wreck, we have turned on wrecking our own ship, and we're prepared to cannibalize ourselves for the illusion of success and sustainability. And it's not going to work. But see, here's what the problem is. It's one thing to identify and label that behavior in politicians. It's another thing to understand that the politicians come from us. Mm-hmm. And that level, that behavior in the political culture will not change until our personal and communal cultures shift. Kermit, it took me a long time. Let's go to a break. Callers, I come to you after the break. But you got a short time, because my agriculture man is here, and we got to talk what to do with these 85,000 mangoes sitting all around New Providence right now. We will be right back after this break.
In life, there are always challenges. Today, we find ourselves having to be more self-sufficient, socially aware, and technically savvy. At J.S. Johnson, we are committed to our customers by providing cost-effective insurance solutions. No matter what your insurance needs, we will always be here for you. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, giving you peace of mind.
Make it count this time. Census 2021 for your family line. You better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The ones that don't fall to. The count depends on you. So tell Ted to go tell below. Mark it down on your calendar. Census 2021. This one's for everyone.
Crystal Cruises is setting sail for the Bahamas once again. Crystal will follow the strictest safety protocols as guests travel to Exuma, San Salvador, Long Island, and more. With a commitment to keep communities and government, Crystal's decision to homeport in the Bahamas will boost tourism and support the local economy. Learn more at crystalcruises.com.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You are on the clock with Erin Green and my guest co-host, Mr. Darwin Thompson, and my guest today, returning from yesterday, Mr. Phil Davis Jr. Good morning.
Morning, morning.
Now, look here, I got a little disclaimer. I know you don't know this yet, but I forgot that you, Mr. Phil Davis Jr., and Mr. Christopher Davis are brothers.
Correct.
And I got Christopher coming on tomorrow to talk about African spirituality, fatherhood, adulthood, and rites of passage as we close out Men's Health Month. And so I just want to make this small note while I look at you right in your face. Mm-hmm. I'm going to beat up on the PLP over the next coming days.
No problem.
But I want people to understand that I ain't about that typical political culture, right? Where, I beat up on the PLP so I can't talk to nobody from the PLP. And first of all, I want to tell this. Y'all go ask any PLP if I's a part of the PLP. Go ask them. They're going to laugh at you. So I don't want y'all running around here about Erin is a PLP, obviously. She only beat up on the FNM. I is beat up on the PLP. I had to take a break from beating up on the PLP. I felt sad for the PLP. I embarrassed for them. They're in a horrible state. They think that they have done what is required to overcome. They pass. They're not even close. I don't think they realize the extent of the work that they need to do to overcome that. But more importantly, I don't think they understand the extent of the work that they need to do in opposition to prove to new voters, to new people, that they are prepared to take on this task of leadership. I want to say to the PLP powers that be that y'all pull back from all this gutter talk and all this, you know, all this horrible language surrounding the political campaigns. And I am appreciative of that because we've seen an entire shift on the political landscape or how people are talking to each other right now. But don't think that that's sufficient, right? And so I need you all to know, I'm going to beat up on all of them. I'm going to beat up on all of them. But not today, because I want to make this note as we're closing out Men's Health Month, right? I know Mr. Phil Davis, and I know Christopher Davis, and I actually don't know any of them through their father or their mother or stepmother, right? I know them because of what it is they do. But from I know they is role with Mrs. Anne Marie Davis, right? I know who they is. They are respectful, polite, mindful, careful, sensitive, but mannish. You can't be more mannish than them, man, right? And there's always a care and consider women in their space, right? And I know they're going to claim that they's man and they come from the man around them. I know Anne Marie Davis bring that up in y'all. And your mommy, whose name I don't know. And that's
Janice,
okay. Janice right? And brought that up in y'all. And so for that, and that's why I have them on my show. Not because there's PLP and I love the PLP. Oh, God, no. Anyway, good morning, Mr. Davis.
Good
How are you doing?
Good morning, right here. Thank you, thank you.
Now, yesterday you sent me a picture that said the faith of the mustard seed,
mm-hmm.
right? And I know we were talking about GMOs, right? Genetically modified organisms. And I know that there's some argument. People say, oh, GMOs are bad. Don't eat any of them. And then there are people who are like, oh, you don't know GMO is just a naturally hybridized plant. You foolish conspiracy theorists, right? Mm-hmm. But we do know that there are some that they are naturally, plants that naturally modify themselves over hundreds of years,
correct.
Right? And then we know there are things that have been modified in a lab,
correct.
Right? But faith of the mustard seed
mm-hmm.
is about a natural process of modification.
Modification from the wild mustard plant.
Right. And so make the link for me, because I feel like you're making a Bible link. right?
Okay, it is the Bible link. So remember we were talking about the cruciferous plant.
So a cruciferous plant is a plant that has a flower with four petals.
Four petals. It looks exactly like the cross. It has the two spears on the side, the same as the soldiers that pierced Jesus Christ in the side. And then again from yesterday, what we were saying, the seed put inside the ground within 3 days germinates, as they were saying Jesus Christ came back. So when you're looking at vegetables, most vegetables come from the dandelion or the wild mustard. And dandelion is one of the first lettuce.
So most vegetables come from dandelion or wild mustard.
Wild mustard.
So if I eat some dandelion and wild mustard, I could tell my parents, no, I don't eat all the vegetables today. Like, I don't need to eat any more for this week or nothing because I done hit the source.
No, you'd have to consume them pretty much every day to get the nutrients and stuff from them.
Okay.
Because it's gonna be lost through you, through sweating, through urinations, through anything like that.
All right.
But when we're talking about the plants and where they derive from and everything, so when you're looking at the wild mustard, you can look straight down from the flowers, from the stem, from the leaves. These things broke off and started forming other organisms. So that's when you start looking at like the cauliflower coming from the leaves of the wild mustard. And then you look at the sections of the stems and stuff also going with the kale, the roots, radish and turnips and stuff like that. So that just grows out and diversified into different vegetables. These are the vegetables now that you're looking at to support your body.
Right.
You're getting the most of your nutrients and supplements and stuff directly from the plant. So when you're seeing that you're consuming these vegetables with your daily diet, now you're talking about, I don't have to take vitamins or minerals from a secondary source. You're getting it directly from the plant.
Yeah.
And that means now that you don't have to eat as much.
Yeah.
So now that your body is not feeling heavy, bloated, or anything like that, and you're actually generating your blood and your heart and keeping away all of the ailments that'll get you from like cheeses, glutens, sugars, those glucose. Exactly.
Yeah.
You get these things natural within the fruits and vegetables that you're supposed to be eating that we're not supposed to be consuming other stuff. Because then you start looking at things like soda. Soda is being produced for us to break down the meat to help out the acid in the body, but it deteriorates your teeth and other things like that. So you're looking at cause and effects straight with your body. And if you go more holistic and natural, you're going to keep yourself way, way healthier.
Yeah.
Right. And so I'm a local locavore. Mm-hmm. I focus on eating local, mm-hmm. right? Now, part of that is the soil that you plant your feet in understands what your body needs,
mm-hmm.
right? And will provide that from season to season.
Mm-hmm.
But also because the closer to harvest that you eat the food, the higher the nutrient count in the food.
Correct.
Right?
But the earth itself knows exactly what you want. So if we were to take, like you're saying, if we were to take on the diet like an Eskimo,
yeah.
Eskimo takes on more fats and stuff like that, but they need
insulation
to keep our climate. We're zone 11. It's a lot hotter here. So more of our food is going to have more of the chlorophylls, the sugars, the direct sunlight. That's what we're talking about, the conversion of sunlight into sugars and fruits. That's the chlorophyll and everything.
Yeah.
Same thing as the melanin.
Yeah.
It's going to be different, that fruit and vegetable that is grown here. It can be grown somewhere else, but it's not going to be exactly
the same. And that's why I think the Bahamas could be the world leader in mangoes. I want to say good morning to my Jamaican friends who obviously have 7 million more mangoes than the Bahamas, but y'all don't have that limestone
mm-hmm.
that feeds the mango and gives it the tang.
Mm-hmm.
So let me just go through this the list on this image of things that we normally eat, things that are normal and regular to us.
Uh-huh.
And even if you don't eat it, you know about it. There's broccoli, there's cabbage, that's our two go-tos. There's cauliflower, there's kale, there's turnips.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you don't eat a lot of turnips, you know what turnip is. And then there is kohlrabi.
Yeah.
Which is the one that's least, I think, known.
Right.
But each thing was developed for cauliflower and the broccoli were developed for the buds, right? For correct. The for the heads.
Because they're actually flowers.
Right.
They're unopened flowers.
Right. That's what we eat.
Uh-huh.
And then one of my most favorite parts of the broccoli, like locally grown broccoli, because you won't get it with the imported broccoli, is the broccoli leaves.
Oh, so sweet.
And broccoli flowers.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, my favorite saute is a broccoli leaf and tree spinach that I grow saute.
Mm-hmm.
Kermit, let's go to this caller dead quick. Good morning, caller. How are you?
Good morning. Can you hear me clear?
I can hear you.
All right, and good morning to your listeners all over the world. You say you just Mr. Davis in there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
You're a farmer?
Yes, sir.
Just, you say that's Braves, son?
Yes, sir.
All right, I don't know if I ever had a chance to meet you, but respect, though.
Pleasure, and, pleasure.
Yeah, you was trying, Ms. Green, you was trying to, like, say the difference between the other mother for the next son and the next one.
Well, no, what I was
I
really...
I had a chance to meet all two of the mothers.
Uh-huh.
I think they're human beings. And the
absolutely.
The first one work in education. I like a lot. And the next one, all two of them is decent people, educated people. I expect good things with their children.
Yeah.
The children have to rise to the top. But they have parents who install in them. And the good thing about their daddy is not by biological daddy for so much of us out here, but for so many human people. You understand? So I expect good things. Two things, them. I'd like you saying, not because you love the PLP. I mean, my business is not that, but it sounds so good. Not only me love the PLP, you love the PLP too.
Why did I say that?
You love the PLP too.
Oh, Lord.
And the next thing is that you say, what you observe, I don't know if it's still happening now, the PLP in a bad condition right now.
Yes.
They think they get it sorted out. But as far as you're concerned, then sort of. Now, I respect you as a very smart, beautiful lady, like they say, right?
Yeah.
I can hear you beautiful. I'm worried about what they see.
Thank
right?
you, yeah.
And yes, man. And I know you're smart, too. But I want to know what to believe. When or if the PLPs get this one in the bag and the people decide to put them in there, what do I say but listening to what Aaron Green have to say?
Well, listen, this is what I'm trying to tell you. You,
I hang up and listen. Yeah. Time going. Keep up the good work.
Yeah, man. Listen, only the people know what they gonna do with the PLP. Only the people know. All I know is this: is that the PLP, if they love the people,
if you'd like to make a
the
call,
way
please.
They say they love the people. They know they have a lot more work to do before the sun come up again. They know that they have to work like their forefathers worked, like the Labor Party worked, like the PLP worked to get the Labor Party to support them. They got to work like the women who wore the PLP shirts under their uniform on the Eastern Road worked. They got to work without ending, ceaseless works. They got to keep working. They have to use their money, personal and institutional, to create systems outside of governance. They have to stop waiting and relying on this old trite line. Well, when we get in power, you could see what we could do. No, you missing the point. The test is, if we cannot see what you can do before you take the government, what's the point in wasting our time when you take the government? You have to prove that you can do it before you go in. And if the PLP cannot, after all of these years, create a temporary housing program and a temporary employment program, if they can't create a community tutoring program, if they can't do a basic farm and food distribution program outside of the halls of parliament, then they have failed before we get to the election booth. It's that serious. It's that serious. I put it to you like this. I'm Aaron Green. I have some A-levels, some associate's degree. I don't have no bachelor's degree. I don't have no certificate or nothing. But I can't just jump up and pretend like I's a... But no, not that even it. Thank you for that music, Kermit. I can't just get up and pretend like you can't expect much of me because I ain't got no degree. I can't pretend like because I ain't got the paper, then you shouldn't expect much of me. And the PLP knows if they can't do it outside of power, they can't do it inside of power. My producer is letting me know I am out of time, so I didn't even get to tell you all how to preserve your mangoes before they go to waste. But we got time, I'm going to tell you. And I'm sorry to my texters. One last text. How long does it take the seed of a freshly eaten mango to germinate and grow?
Within 14 days. Now, it's important that you take it out of the pit. There's the seed inside of the pit, and you do not cover it with the soil. You lay it on top of the soil, put it inside a shaded area, cover it up with plastic bag. Within 10 to 14 days, you'll see a germination. If it has one shoot, it's a clone. If it has three, it's the exact.
You're out.